your keys.
I want to start out by an exercise. Everyone from there over, and when I give a signal, you look to your right, and all of you look to your left, and stretch. One, two, three. Look, stretch it. Ah! My neck hurts from sitting over there looking this way. That's why I figured, let's just stretch our necks for a moment. In fact, if I was over here, I would take my chairs and turn them. I would. I'm going to get a neck ache just watching you all twist like that. There. I wish I didn't have to give this talk tonight, but I could hardly wait for the one in the morning. No one's ever given me 50 minutes to speak on solutions. I get it tomorrow morning. That means I can really explain some things that you normally don't have time that will make so much sense to you and your children and grandkids. But a talk like tonight, no, I wish nobody had to talk on it. And I'm very sincere when I say this. Next to my love for Christ and my wife, what gets me out of bed and when my feet hit the floor, I'm going 100 miles an hour, is the question that motivates me every day. Who are my grandchildren going to marry? Ooh. You think of that question as I go along, because you're going to hear some things that you'll have a hard time believing. But trust me, you go to my website, everything's documented, especially some of the most recent scientific documentation out. It just breaks my heart. I don't even want to believe it. I know it's true, but I don't want to believe it. Who are your grandchildren going to marry? Sean dealt with what is pornography. But a lot of pastors especially would say to me, and I can understand why they would say it, Josh, what's the big deal? We've always had pornography. Oh, I hear that constantly. Yes, I'm not dumb. We've always had pornography. You want to call the scribbling on the walls in Pompeii pornography? We've always had pornography. But what pastors and others and parents and grandparents, we have never had such accessibility to pornography. Especially since 2006, when the smartphone came out. I started to write out, and I didn't, they all fell into A's. Why has pornography exploded, and I mean folks, exploded onto the scene? One, it's available. Second, it's accessible, as Sean talked about. Third, it's affordable. Fourth, it's anonymous. Fifth, it's appealing. Six, it's aggressive. It's aggressive. And seventh, it's addictive. And when I get done, I say, oh my gosh, they're all A's. And I got about six more, but that'd be too long of a list. But these are just some of the reasons why the internet has captivated a generation globally. To talk about porn, I've got to talk about its delivery system. Because if you don't grasp the delivery system, you won't get the extent, the size of porn. You won't get it. And I'm talking about a massive data glut of the internet. Do you know how big the internet is? No, you don't. There's not one person in this room. I don't think there's anyone in the world that knows how big the internet is. Because the moment you think you do, it's changed. It's growing so fast. Right now on the global internet, users, over 4.2 billion now. Just a few months ago, it was 3.6 billion. Over 4.2 billion users. Over 14 trillion web pages. Now folks, everything on the internet is one click away. But imagine this. To read every page, one person to read every page would take you 2.8 quadrillion years to count them. Does that even give you a hint how big it is? Look at the websites online. In 2012, there's 697 million. 2018, 1.9 billion, one click away. Folks, we can't even think in these numbers, especially if you're over 40, 45. I am. I mean, I probably don't show up, but I am. I tried to figure out how large, because until you realize how large the web is, you can't grasp how large porn is. And so I called some of the experts I'm in, and they helped me work out the stats and everything. Whew. The internet globally processes in 24 hours every day 1.7 quadrillion gigabytes of data. You know how big a gigabyte is? A gigabyte equals 64,782 pages of data. Multiply that by 1.742 quadrillion, it comes out every day, page-wise, if printed out, would be 4.76 billion pages every hour. Every hour. You're starting to get a feel of the world we're living in now? But this is what staggered me and Sean. We just got these stats and documented them. I've only known these about 3 days now, and it's such a jump, but we got them documented. Hours of video uploaded in 2017 to YouTube. That's only one of millions of sites, almost 2 billion sites. Every minute, 2,778 hours, a video is uploaded to one site, what? To influence you. For every hour, 166,667 hours of video is uploaded every 60 minutes. And that means, in a day, 4 million hours a day. Man, that must be a huge computer capacity. And all that, 30% of that is porn, but all that is to influence you and your children. Last year, 2.3 trillion videos were watched on YouTube. Folks, do you grasp that? It would take you hundreds of years to count to a trillion. To count to just a quadrillion, which is 1,000 trillion, would take 1,200 years. Well, how big is porn on the internet? Nobody knows. It is so big, nobody knows. In 1998, there were 14 million pornographic web pages, one click away. That's what you gotta remember, folks over 50. One click away right here in this auditorium. In your church, one click away. In 2003, 260 million. 2006, 420 million. 2010, 500 million. 2012, 980 million. Now it's 2.3 billion pages of porn, one click away. And you think your precious granddaughter won't see it? Grandma, get your head screwed on straight. Absolutely 1,000% your granddaughter will see porn, period. And if you don't think they will, you're the problem. You're the problem. It is that big. It would take one person 11,180 years to look at each picture, at 2 minutes a picture. 26 million pornographic websites, one click away, right here with my iPad. I can access them right now. Just one site. This is just one of 26 million porn sites. Last year, 18 billion visits. That's only one of 26 million. Folks, we can't grasp that, those numbers. But it's what's affecting our children, an entire generation. On another porn site, every day, 100 million pages are viewed. Every second, 4,000 more porn videos are being shown on one site. 4,000. My mind can't even get my arms around it. That's all just one click away. Of all porn sites, with all the videos, last year was 6.3 trillion pornographic videos watched. And you think your children, you think your grandchildren, now they've probably already seen it if they're 8 years old or even 5 years old, they've probably already seen it. That's the average age, 8 years old globally. I believe in pastors' homes, it's about 4 to 6 years old. The average exposure to pornography. One site, if just printed out each day, would fill the entire Empire State Building every single day. Another site, worldwide, people watched 4.3 billion hours of content. That's over 5,000 centuries on one site. Up to 30% of all porn traffic are children. Your grandkids. Your children. Kids at your church. The largest consumer of internet porn, 12 to 17 years old. Number one demographic. 90% of all 8 to 16 year olds have viewed pornography. And you think your grandkids won't see it? Last year, just 7 to 14 year olds, they viewed over 47 million pornographic videos. The problem is many of them scores a time. 79% saw it at home, 9% in school, 5% at a friend's house, 7% in other areas. One porn site, this is the last time I'll share on this, is so big, one site, it printed out what they distributed in porn last year would fill 20 billion four-drawer file cabinets. That's only one of 26 million sites. That means over 6 billion of those four-drawer file cabinets were watched by children. That's only one site. Another site had 91 billion videos viewed last year. 91 billion on one site. 30% of them children. Percent of all Christian homes have a major problem with pornography. I don't think there's any home that is not affected by pornography. Not one. Especially a Christian home. If not directly, through a friend, through your children's friend, etc., are affected. Sean talked about the brain. You cannot understand porn if you do not understand the brain. I don't care if you're a pastor. Don't you tell me you have a biblical answer for porn if you do not understand neurology or the brain. You don't, pastor. And this is one of the problems. I'd love to be challenged publicly on television with this one. I believe 95% of all pastors and Christian leaders who counsel on porn are doing more damage than good. They're destroying lives. For a very simple reason. None of them are dealing with the brain. And it's all, almost straight across every Christian opens their mouth to counsel on porn is behavior modification. And behavior is not even the problem. It's the brain, right up here. How long to reach the brain? Alcohol, 6 minutes. Cocaine, 5 minutes. Heroin, 10 to 20 seconds. Nicotine, 7 seconds. Porn, 0.5 seconds. Starts a 5 to 9 minute process that physically, biologically changes your brain. I'm not talking spiritually, relationally, or emotionally. physically, biologically. In 1/2 second starts the process. Just, this is where parents say, when I taught my kids, just don't look at it. Mom, it's too late. Do you get that? There's nothing else like it. The moment it goes, boom, it's to the brain. And it starts the process. And that's all I hear from so many Christians. Well, I just taught my kids, turn away, don't look at it. It's too late. It's too late. Remember Sean talked about neurological pathways. Cells or neurons are cells that fire together, wire together. In your brain are all kinds of cells. And the moment porn passes in front of you, like many other things you do, a certain combination of these cells in your brain fires. Like you see here, I think, yeah. They fire. And the next time you see porn, whether in 10 seconds, a minute, an hour, a week later, those same cells fire. And what scientists know is cells that fire together, they wire together, like Sean demonstrated. They wire together. It's kind of like the Sean put the picture up there of the path through the woods. When it started out, it was just grass. And then somebody said, well, we got to get to the other side of the woods. So they kind of went this way, maybe knocked down a few pieces of grass. Then a few other people went along, knocked down more. And then all the grass got worn down. Then pretty soon a little dirt started to form after maybe a year, year and a half. And then all of a sudden it was a path. And nobody had to think. And Sean brought this up. You don't have to think. You go there. You automatically, your mind doesn't have to click on. You automatically follow the path. This is what happens with your brain with porn. You don't think about it, folks. That's the key. It's automatic. The moment you see the porn, those cells fire. And every time they fire, the connectors go deeper and wider, like a path, deeper and wider. Dr. William Struthers, a neurologist, said, psychological neurologist, said, it becomes a preferred route, meaning for your brain. The moment anything, an odor, a certain glimpse of a certain scared woman or man or something else, all of a sudden your brain has that preferred route to go to. And you gotta go masturbate. So the neural pathways set the course for the next time any erotic image is viewed. They become the automatic pathway through which interaction with women are routed. Ladies, you listen to this. Because it's true of 90% of men. When they look at a woman, immediately, the image of that woman is routed through the cells that are fired together, that are wired together. And they don't have to consciously start thinking about it. They think about it, period. It's neurological. It's like a Grand Canyon is created. All women pass through that circuitry. All women. All women become, every woman a man sees becomes a porn star in the minds of men. Now this is what's sad to me. Way over 50% of evangelical fundamental born-again Christian pastors are addicted. Not watching it, addicted. When over half the pastors get up in a Sunday morning to preach and they look out and they see women, they see them naked while they're teaching the Word of God because their cells fire. It's not something conscious. You can walk into church and figure over half the men are undressing you. Right in an evangelical Baptist church. I didn't hear that Baptist say amen. He said it under his breath. Sean talked about dopamine. It's a hormone, a chemical in your brain, as Sean described it. It's the feel-good hormone. It's a feel-good hormone that's triggered when your five senses are affected by something you see, feel, hear, touch, smell around you that will bring in any joy or anything. This dopamine is triggered in your brain automatically. You don't think about it. Like a kid driving fast with a car. Yeah! That's a dopamine rush, not an adrenaline rush. That's a dopamine rush. It's that feel-good feeling. And this is what's so sad. So many young ladies say this all the time, especially when I'm speaking on sexuality and everything, no matter what country, they'll say something like this. Well, how can it be wrong if it feels so good? Oh my gosh, that's about the stupidest phrase anyone could say. Because dopamine is morally neutral. It can't tell the difference between consensual sex and rape. So any young lady or woman that says, well, if it feels good, it makes it right, you just justified rape. Because dopamine is morally neutral. It's fired by your senses and your brain and your images that have wired your circuits. They can watch this on equipment today. It's strange. They can watch your brain fire with the new technology they have. And this is what happens. Sean didn't bring this on because he was short on time. I got 2 hours. But when you have the two cells coming together, you have receptors and what they call neurotransmitters. The neurotransmitters transmits the chemical dopamine from one cell to the next cell that's received through the receptors. But once you start watching porn, this is what they found out. The receptors start to become inactive. Where instead of having maybe like 30 receptors, you might have 24, and then 22, and then 16. And so what happens, as Sean so clearly explained, is that all of a sudden, you're not experiencing the same dopamine high you had with the first maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 times you looked at porn. Maybe you don't even get a hard on now. Because the receptors are becoming inactive. So you have to pour more dopamine through it. In other words, other images to build up to get these receptors to even receive more. That's the biology of it in your brain. And then oxytocin, I just want to say this. It's a bonding hormone. And Sean really explained it. But the one thing he didn't bring out that it does, instead of bonding you to a woman, it bonds you to a screen with pornography. It bonds you to a screen that oxytocin is released and it clamps you to that screen. I mean, this is one reason why. You can be the most beautiful woman in the world. You can have the most incredible body, everything or man, anything else. There's not a woman in the world that can compete with porn. Not a woman that can compete with porn. And one of the most heartbreaking things is so many pastors and meaningful Christians, they counsel people, they counsel the wife and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to be obedient to your husband, you need to be more appealing, you need to be sexual, you need to be more around. Oh, get real! That has nothing to do with porn! Nothing! You can be the sexiest woman in the world, no matter how stand there and not even get aroused. Because he locks into a screen. Plus, you have to have variety like Sean talked about. You see, with all other addictions like alcohol and heroin, you have to have more to satisfy your addiction. With porn, you have to have different, or as Sean said, variety. You have to have different. A different woman, a different body, different breasts, different this, different act. Or you don't get the dopamine rush. You've got to go to different and more extreme to ever even close back to the initial arousal you had when you first started watching porn. It's biological, it's chemical. He locks you to a screen. And then there's another hormone in the brain. Sean didn't touch on this one. It's called norepinephrine. It's referred to as the memory hormone. Scientists would say for years, to say it's what takes an experience, an emotion, a fear, a joy, whatever, something you see, a photograph, a picture, a body, whatever. And they would always say it paper clips it to your brain for recall. Norepinephrine. But the more I study pornography in the last 8 years, I don't think there's anyone that's studied it more than I have. Because I'm an apologist. I want to see people come to truth. And about almost 10 years ago now, I said to Dottie, I said, there's something happening in youth culture. I can't put my finger on it. Usually I can define a problem real fast and give a solution. I really can. I'm gifted at that. It took me a year. And I saw something was affecting authority in young people's lives. Authority of Christ, the scripture. And I remember when I called Don, I said, honey, I now know what it is. I said, it's internet porn. And now, I had no research on it. Well, now in the last 3 months, I constantly research. That's heaven to me. And wow, all of a sudden, just all these different reports, studies, everything came up, that one of the first things porn does to you is affect your commitment to authority. Whoa! And that's what I was seeing 10 years ago. And just now I'm able to document it. It starts to affect your response to authority. So I developed a phrase. Paper clipping wasn't sufficient for me, so I developed a phrase. I said, now, from what I know of pornography, I'm not a scientist on it, but this is what it does. So I was with Dr. Donald Hilton, who's one of the top brain surgeons in the world, a neurologist at the University of Texas. And we've become pretty good friends. And I said, Don, I've developed a phrase that I believe speaks more truly to the situation than paper clipping it to the brain. He thought, oh yeah, sure, McDowell, what is it? I said, it's this. What norepinephrine does is take pornography and tattoos it to your brain. His eyes lit up, you should have seen him, Sean. He said, that's what we've been looking for. It doesn't just paperclip it, it tattoos it to your brain. Whew. Why do men and women, they couldn't understand this for years, 40, 50 years old, make some of the foolish, most irresponsible decisions in their lives? They'll walk away from a wonderful 30-year marriage. They'll walk away from their children, their grandchildren. 38% get fired from their jobs. They lose their profession. Try to tell that to a man stuck in porn, he won't believe you. 38% lose their job or their profession. And they finally found out why. It's been about 4 years now. And this is what they found out. When you are born, as Sean pointed out, your brain isn't completely developed. You have what is called your prefrontal cortex here. It's about 75% of your brain. It's 75% water. But this is the area of your brain that God created for moral choices. This is what he created in your life to follow morality. This is where you make moral choices. This is where a person can look at future consequences to make an immediate decision, is right here. But that doesn't open the child. Sean had 25 to 30 years, that's right. It was only about 10 years ago they said, by 20 years old it's open. Then they said 25, now they're saying 29 to 30. Before, try to tell that to a university student, that their thinking part is not activated right up here in their brain. So what happens is when a child is born, they live out of a little part in the back of your brain called the limbic system. Now the limbic system is pure, raw emotions. And when I speak on sexuality to young people, I say, so much of love is chemical, folks. It really is. So much of romance is chemical. It's dopamine, it's oxytocin, it's many different chemicals. Is romance and love. And God created us that way. But I said, this is what happens when you're young, up to about 25 years old. It's not that you can't do it. It's very difficult to consistently, that's the word, consistently make right moral choices. Because your prefrontal cortex is not open completely. You're operating now your limbic system, which is raw emotions. Which means you can't say, well, if I keep watching porn, what it's going to do to me in 10 years? Why? As a child grows, you get in 25, 27, 28. It's already started to shift, but it majorly shifts from your, from here up to your prefrontal. They can watch it on technology to your prefrontal cortex. Well, this is what they found with porn now. Why grown men and women make such irrational choices is the porn images, when they pass before you on a moving screen, not a Kindle, on a moving screen, they are so novel, even though our brain was created for novelty, but not the novelty of porn, folks. Brain can't handle it. These images are so powerful, they've now learned those images of porn totally bypass your prefrontal cortex and go straight to your limbic system. Pure, raw emotions. This is why somebody watching porn, I gotta have more. I gotta get home. I gotta get here. I gotta pull over. I gotta stop. I gotta see. They see a billboard, something else. I gotta see it. I gotta go to the men's room. And they can't consistently make right moral choices based on future consequences. Man, that's scary, folks.
Yeah.
And that's of a 40, 50, 60-year-old man or woman. I developed a phrase, and Dr. Hill McGinn said, I love to define things and develop phrases. And I developed this phrase, and again, Dr. Hill said, Josh, that's the clearest explanation I've ever seen. And I put it this way. I said, Don, when you give in to your cravings, you give up on your reasoning. He said, that's right. Because when you give in to your cravings, it bypasses your prefrontal cortex. Whew. Try to tell that to a young kid that thinks he knows it all. No. They were built to think they know it all. There's no one else in the world who can know it all and not know much. Where do children get sex education? Grandma, grandpa, listen to me. It's not you. It's not mom and dad. It's not the church, not the school. It's Google. Right there. All studies show that. No longer is it mom and dad in the home, the pastor, the church, the school. Nope. Google. And at young ages. Somehow it didn't get in here, my PowerPoint is. Several weeks ago, a study came out. I'm not sure if I forwarded it to you or not, Sean. I probably did. It's staggering. Several professors in the university said a lot of these people, and from the stats they shared, they were definitely referencing me. They said a lot of these people, Christians, are underestimating the porn stats. Now, folks, I'm reading this thing. You gotta be crazy. Because I know it's at least 78% of all men. And you say I'm underestimating that. So they commissioned a study to be done, a big one. In fact, when it came out, I couldn't believe it. And I sent it like to Barna and some other people, and I said, now Barna's one of the top researching organizations in the world. And I said, Kinnaman is who's head of it. I said, Dave, is this accurate? Because they had broken down all how they did it, but I'm not a scientist like that. I said, is this study accurate? He, within 1 hour, he met me. He said, yes. It's totally scientifically done, Josh. It is accurate. You know what it showed? Sean, think of some of the PowerPoint you were using. Think in light of this. It says, of all men, between 91 and 99%, all of them pursue pornography monthly. For women, See, it's 91 to 99% for men. 60 to 90% is it?
92.
92, 60, and number of reasons for the big gap here. Between minimum of 60% of all women up to 92% of all women watch porn. Now, some of the major studies shows in the most evangelical fundamental born-again Christian church, 78% of the men, 56% of all women from 18 to 34 watch porn. Actively pursue porn on the internet. That's the study that was done. 56%. But this other study, secular study, said no, it's 60 to 92 for women. 70% of all new porn sites now are for women. 70%. I was on a... We're trying to help this ministry out, an incredible ministry. And he was contacted by... The man had to be a full colonel or a one-star general. Top military brass. And he called Alex in. Called him in just recently. And he said, is there any way you can help us? He said, the military, we are totally overrun by depression and suicide. It's exploded. But he said, we've been totally taken over, the entire military, by porn. You think what I've been saying, you're just, you're exaggerating, Jeff. When you hear things like that? He said, the whole military. They said, almost every soldier returning from Afghanistan are addicted. It's destroying families. 67% of all divorces are pornography. What do we do? What do we do? Jesus said, I will restore you tomorrow morning. I get 50 minutes. You don't realize that is there's something you dream of as a speaker. But I get 50 minutes to talk. What do we do? What are some of the solutions? Now this is what you got to realize. There is no solution for porn. Before you hear me tomorrow morning, I want you to know there is no solution for porn. There's no answer. Pastors, one of the first things, well, Josh, what's the solution? I'm telling you the truth, there is no solution. There are solutions. There are answers. Pornography is different than any other addiction. I believe you have to have anywhere from 6 to 10 basic solutions, or you will never, ever be free from porn. And it's not behavior modification. Because porn isn't the problem. It's the men. I have 7 minutes left. I want to close with this. You're sitting there listening, Josh, not Christians. Oh, wake up, folks. Maybe 4% difference between Christians and non-Christians, between pastors and other leaders. I'm going to ask a friend of mine who travels with me, he's my personal assistant, intern. His father and mom, I really admire. He's a pastor of a good-sized church, and boy, he's the kind of pastor I want. I have, in fact, where I live, I have a pastor like his father. I want you to hear him. He just graduated from Liberty University and been with me about a year and a half, isn't it? And so I'm going to ask Austin to come up here, and then I'm just going to turn it over to Dick right after this. But tomorrow morning, I can hardly wait, I get to talk about the solutions. And please bring pencil and paper, because most of you think you have a photographic mind, but you don't have any film.
I grew up in the church. I've been
ever since I can remember, grew up in the church. Accepted Christ at a really young age. Quickly became a leader in my youth group. I was leading small groups, leading worship, even given the opportunity to speak a couple times. And I knew I was called into ministry, but I never had a love for God's word. Never had intimacy with friends. I always wondered why. I hear so many kids nowadays saying, I just feel distant from God. I don't know why. It's because I was living a double life. At 10 years old, all the kids around me start talking about sex. So I do what's natural. I just go Google it. And it wasn't the first time I saw porn. The first time I was in kindergarten, 7 years old. But it was the first time in my life that it produced gratification. It led to a total of 10 years of a misled gratification in my life. Went through middle school, went through high school, and would talk about it sparsely here and there. But all my friends were struggling. We didn't know what to do. I went off to college to the largest Christian university in the world, thinking this new environment is going to pull me out of my addiction. Didn't work. All I heard over these years is, you need to read the scripture, you need to pray more, you need to memorize more, you need to confess it, and Christ will set you free. So I tried it for 10 years. Didn't work. Tried to set up accountability with my friends, and we'd kind of talk about this problem, but again, we're all struggling, so we all kind of slip underneath it and stop sharing with each other. It all led up to my junior year of college when my little sister and my parents and I are sitting around talking about unresolved conflict in the past. Because pornography completely withdrew me emotionally from the family. I had so much shame and guilt in my life that I didn't want to be found out. And so that night, my little sister began to share with me her story. She has kidney disease, it's called nephrolic syndrome, where her kidneys don't function or filter correctly. And while I'm off at college, she's in high school really, really struggling. She's in remission now, but during this time, she's put on hefty, hefty steroids. Enormous side effects on her life. She got to the point where she became suicidal. She was just done. And she looked at me that night. She said, Austin, when I became suicidal, I started to look at what does suicide do to the family. She looked at me and she said, Austin, you didn't commit suicide because I looked at your life, your potential, your leadership. I didn't commit suicide because I didn't want it to affect you. And it wrecked me. I did not understand how someone could love me that much when I cared so little about myself in that moment. Because Matt Chandler has this quote, when you're 99% known but 1% unknown, you are fully unknown. Because you are going to filter everything somebody says about you through that hidden sin in your life. So I have 10 years of this addiction in my past, and while she's showing me this love, I am completely interpreting it as shame. Because I say, I'm not worthy of that love because you don't know about all this stuff that's going on in my life. And I've tried the Jesus way. I've tried to get out, and it hasn't worked. And it led to about 2.5 months of a really deep depression in my life where I just totally gave up hope. Withdrew from friends, from family, just shut down. Thought, there's no worth in my life anymore. I can't get out of this. And it all woke up, or all came up to March 28th of 2017. When I wake up one morning to calls and texts from all my friends, all my family. We love you. We care about you. Why aren't you reaching out? The Holy Spirit stepped in that moment. Said, Austin, this addiction is not just affecting you. It's affecting all the people around you. It gave me the motivation to change. So I named it. I claimed it. And I reached out to two people who I knew loved me and cared about me no matter what. That was my parents. So I named it, claimed it, and called home. And it started a process of four major, major things in my life. When you're looking at solutions to pornography, it goes under the umbrella of cut the supply, deal with the wound. So the number one thing is you got to cut the supply. I'm telling you, if you have access and you're watching pornography, you will never stop. You need to get a dumb phone for a while. You need to get filters on every single one of your devices connected to the internet, because if you have access, you're not going to stop. You need to cut the supply. Second major thing is repentance. Because of all these years, I just heard, okay, you need to confess your sins and Christ will set you free. That's not repentance. Repentance isn't just a moment of confession and moving on. It's as Paul talks about with the renewing of your mind is a process of change. That process started with an education. An education on porn, what it's doing to my brain, what it's doing to my emotions, and what it's doing to all the people around me. Then an education on the holiness of God, His divine view of sexuality, how pornography is a counterfeit to that sexuality. The third major thing is accountability. Now, I'm not talking about sitting around with a group of guys or girls once a week for breakfast, talking about your little sin problem over here and then moving on with the rest of the week. Accountability is committing to a life of complete vulnerability and complete openness with somebody's, and with other people. Because when you give the devil 1%, one lie, you're going to filter everything through that. You need to be 100% known by other people. The fourth major thing is counseling. Because pornography is not your problem, pornography is your medication. It is a medication for deeper root wound issues in your life. And a lot of people just see their problem of pornography, they don't realize what's actually going on under the surface. Because through 10 years of addiction, subconsciously in my mind, I'm learning that, man, when I feel worthless, when I feel rejected, when I'm striving for intimacy with other people, pornography was always there for instant intimacy, instant gratification, and instant acceptance. And most people don't have the capacity to say, well, I'm acting out in this way, what are the emotions underneath it? That's where counseling comes in. So it's been about 2 years now of this process of finding freedom. But honestly, am I truly free? No. Do I watch it? No. But am I free? No. Because the issue of pornography goes so much deeper in your life than just watching your porn. You're dealing with your identity, your worth, how Christ sees you. But intimacy with the Lord, real relationships, real friendships, process is totally worth it.
It's easy to believe this when you're away from.